Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. He spent 3 years in prison for theft and drugs, and then earned a bachelor's degree in communications from the University of Nebraska at Omaha. In 2016, he founded Life Relaunch and is now its president. It's an organization that seeks to change hearts and restore lives through two-day group experiences. His newest book is Life Relaunch Warrior, Fighting the Unseen Cosmic Battle. And his name, Mel Goble. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to an amazing person who has a phenomenal story, Mel Goble. Mel, welcome, an honor to have you.
Great to be with you.
Can you lead us, please, in an opening prayer?
Sure. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we ask that you just be present now in this interview, and that the words that are spoken here today would drop into the hearts of people all over the U.S. In your holy name, amen.
Thank you. Let's go back, Omaha, Nebraska. Tell us about your childhood and growing up.
Yeah, seven kids, two sets of twins, 14 months apart. And probably would cause my mother, she had to raise all the seven kids, and she began drinking alcohol. Unfortunately, she became an addict with it. And my father would be away at work, and because of that addiction of alcohol, we would see her with other men. And then when he would come home, he would find out about it through the 13-year-old at that time. And so there was violence in the home constantly as we were 6 and 7 years old and 5. And so we actually would fear for our lives. On one occasion, they were wrestling with a 20-gauge shotgun between them. And the butt of the gun hit her. She went to the floor, and then it actually went off and blew out the picture window of our home. So we were little kids, scared. And the scripture says Satan was not on vacation, and he began to sow seeds of rebellion in my heart.
All right. God is the hound of heaven. Jesus is the hound of heaven. I understand that mom and dad later came to Jesus.
Yeah, over 40 years, all my brothers and sisters, my oldest sisters went home to be with the Lord. But over 40 years, all of us now know Jesus. In fact, we were together for over Memorial Weekend. And it's just a blessing because we can all fellowship around Jesus.
All right, it's been a wild ride. You spent 3 years in prison for theft and drugs. How did that happen? Talk about that chapter, please.
Yeah, you know, it was when you're lost, you know, at 15, I got on drugs. I didn't know Jesus. So it escalated to the point that I was sent to the Nebraska State Penitentiary for 3 years. But it was there through the witness of a man getting a new guy coming in off a bus. He witnessed to me about Jesus. And challenged me to look into the scriptures. So I went on a journey of doing that. And in the midst of that, in this 1909 prison, I woke up early one morning, sunlight was coming through the bars, and there was this heavenly being presence, an angel, in my room. And I went to my knees and just began to repent of my sins and asked God to take my heart and use it for good. And from that time on, I began walking the prison yard with a Bible, sharing with inmates, reaching out, And I did that until I was released.
How was that taken receptively by the other prisoners?
Some it was taken well, but others, for example, I tried to help a younger man. They didn't have cameras in this 1900s prison, and some inmates gave him a joint of marijuana and some cigarettes, and now he was supposed to meet him down in the back of the gym. So he came to me, and he was crying, and I was a new believer and on fire for Jesus. And I said, "Well, I'll go to the commissary. We'll get the cigarettes." And before Christ, these guys still owed me a joint or two. And it was the lifer that was heading this thing up in there. And so I went in his place, and little did I know. I said, "Here's the cigarettes that Rocky owes you, and the joint of marijuana that I owed you. Cancel the debt." But there was about seven of them, and they blew up on me in the gym, screaming and foul language, and "You're telling us how to do our time in here. Do you realize what you're doing?" And, you know, I wouldn't say, "No, I don't," because now I was walking in the kingdom realm, not in the worldly realm in that prison. But anyway, I got out of the gym, the door slammed shut, I'm out on the prison yard, I'm telling another inmate that, "Hey, something might go down," and I'm facing a gun tower, and he's looking behind me, and he said, "No, there's a bunch of guys coming." And so there was about 12 of them coming. They walked up to me, and the leader, the lifer, said, "Hey, man, I don't like what you did. You're doing that. You're telling us how to do our time in this prison." And other inmates were telling him to knife me, punch me out. But it was as if it was like slow motion for me. I was looking in his eyes, and I just said, "Because of Jesus, he's my brother." And the ringleader's name was Eric. And I said, "Eric, if this was you, I would do the same thing for you." It seemed like a hard long time. My heart was beating in my chest. But I repeated that three or four times, and then something heavenly happened. He turned, and he walked away, and all of them walked away. And I saw that greater was he that was in me than he that was in the world. But I did tell my friend, if they pull a knife, head towards the gun tower, because if a riot or scourgings broke out, they would open the gun tower and fire off a shotgun.
All right. You spent 3 years in that 100-plus-year-old prison. What's the biggest thing you learned in that prison?
I came to faith in Jesus. I came to faith in him, and the prison was no longer a prison. You know, Jesus changes your whole outlook. Everything changes. And for me, it became a monastery. Became a monastery. I'd get up every day and I would walk and talk with him. I'd get up and get on my knees in my cell, and then I'd walk across to the place for chow hall to where we eat. I would talk with him on the way over, and I would cite scripture, and then I would say, "Lord, is there someone here that I'm going to sit down? Show me where to sit down by someone who I can tell them about you." And so it became a hour by hour, moment by moment, walking in his presence and being alert to divine encounters around me.
We're talking to Mel Goble. When we come back, we're going to ask him about two angels that God sent him when he got out. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Mel Goble. If you want to learn more, www.liferelaunch.org. All right, Dallin and Glennis Peterson. They started Merry Maids in 1979 out of their home in Nebraska, and God sent them to you. Please.
Yeah, Dallin, I was talking with an inmate when I got into prison, and I said, this was in 1975, 73, And we didn't have a Bible study in there. And this one inmate says, oh, you know, I attended this car wash, and this couple was leading a youth club in their church. You know how they wash cars? I said, yeah. He says, well, I asked him if I could date his daughter, and he says, well, why don't you just come to our youth group first? And I go, do you have his name? He goes, yeah, I still got his address. I said, well, let's write him and see if he'll come down to prison and start a Bible study. So we wrote him, and he went and talked with his pastor, and his pastor showed him Matthew 25, where Jesus says, I was in prison, and he visited me. And he arranged to come down to the prison to meet with me and Rick on a visit, and we told him that we'd love for him to start a Bible study, and the Bible study grew from seven inmates to over 100. We were experiencing revival in there. And then when I got out of prison, the man that came with Dallin, him and his wife, opened their home to me, said, you can stay here until you get enough money to get your own place. And then Dallin gave me a job and at his company at that time. And but they didn't stop there. They showed up at the state capitol as I was standing before Governor Kerry at the time, the Attorney General, the Full Pardons Board in Lincoln, Nebraska, and heard the governor declare a full pardon. He pardoned me of my crimes. And I remember going down the steps. I'll never forget. Thank you, Governor, but Jesus was the pardon that I really needed. His shed blood for my sins.
All right, then God introduced you to another angel by the name of Chuck Colson, who had also spent time in prison.
Yes, I was released August 21st, 1976. I was in Omaha, and there was a Omaha prayer breakfast, I think, in 1980 there in Omaha. And Dallin and I went, and this other gentleman, we went, and Chuck Colson was the featured speaker. And so after he had spoke, Dallin and I walked up to Chuck, and we had a time to visit with him. And he told me to get a hold of his office. And so I did, and I was it was amazing because I was their second state director hired. I came on staff with Chuck in 1979 and worked with him until 1997.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Chuck Colson?
He was a brilliant man. He was theologically very sound, but his witness is what impacted my life. Every Easter, he would go to prison, and not just the regular inmates in population. He would also visit death row and go cell to cell. And so I saw the embodiment of Jesus in Chuck, as he impacted so many thousands of lives. And, you know, today, Prison Fellowship is still one of the largest prison ministries in the country.
It's has over 100,000 volunteers in over 100 countries. He was the author of 22 books. He had, at one point, nationally syndicated radio show program heard daily on 1,000 stations. And I met him through Mike Timmis, a mutual friend. And he talked about...
Yes.
He said, Jack, other than the Jewish carpenter, you can argue that the three greatest men of faith in the history of the world would be Moses, David, and St. Paul. And he said,
yeah.
Jack, they have one other thing in common, and that was, of course, that they were all murderers.
Mm-hmm.
Mel, God oftentimes does his greatest work with the least likely people. Why so?
Well, I think they, you know, when you reach the end of, the world is out here in the deception of the world and Satan to, you know, get people to believe lies. They come after your identity and broken people that have put their identity in false lies. And most of the inmates I knew struggled with either being sexually abused or terrible. Their fathers are physically beating them all the time. And so they're totally in despair. And when they hear the message of grace, when they hear the message of Jesus, because Jesus is always calling people. He's always calling people unto himself every day. And I saw inmates come to know him in there. I know guys out of prison now that I've known for years. They were walking. Some of them have gone home to be with Jesus. But they're broken. And broken people look for answers.
Mel, if there's a listener that says, I admire you.
Yeah.
You trust the Lord. You've surrendered. But Mel, I can't. I can't surrender to Jesus. I cannot trust him. What do you say to that person?
I say to that person, the greatest life that you can have is to put your heart into the hands of Jesus. I've been in the world. I've dealt drugs. I did everything in the world you could possibly want. Two times overdose. Satan was trying to take me out. It's a miracle that you're still alive. It's a miracle that I made it out alive. And so Jesus is, he comes with blessings. I think this is where people mix up. They think when they come to Jesus, they got to give up everything. No, Jesus comes with blessings. You only give up whatever you desire to give up to follow him. And he even gives us the power to follow him. And so it's the best journey in life. I've done the journey with Satan and his and the demons, and I've done the journey with Jesus and his angels, and Jesus is far better the way to go. Blessings will come. Everything that you're pursuing for right now, whoever you are, everything you want out of life, put your mind, put your heart into Jesus, and you will be blessed beyond what you can comprehend.
We're talking to Mel Goble, www.liferelaunch.org. When we come back, we'll ask him about a ministry that he started in 2016. And I'm Jack Rasulin, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasulin. We're with Mel Goble. Mel, 2016, you start Life Relaunch. What is it?
Life Relaunch. Well, simply put, it's a journey into a person's life story where they experience heart restoration and revival. A journey into their story, a journey into their broken story where they're searching. We have people that have come out of addictions. We have seen people get experience healing. 37% roughly of the people going through our two-day life relaunch is over 8,000 men and women now, 12 at a time. We follow the Jesus model, came to faith in Jesus. The others were healed of core, what I call a core memory wound. A core memory wound is a wound from your childhood, can be later, could be through a divorce, but it's a wound that Satan manipulates. And addictions is not the real issue. The issue is a wounded heart, a wounded core memory. I've walked veterans back into a place where their Humvee is blown up. Their guys are dead, laying there, and the veterans there. And I've walked back into that core memory that torments him. Satan is the master. He loves tormenting people with their spiritual heart wounds. And I've walked back into that with him over 2 days, and I've watched Jesus heal that core memory. How does he heal it? It's like looking in the rearview mirror of your car, and you pass a vehicle, and pretty soon you can watch the vehicle continue to dissolve in the distance. That's what he does with the wound. He comes, he heals that wound, illuminates it with his healing light, never to torment that person ever again. And there's young, there's women, there's men carrying around these wounds. I had an 87-year-old man go through from a core memory wound that he was ashamed of. And the condemnation he was living under for years. And he came in, and we walked into that wound, and Jesus healed it. And now he's one of our just greatest supporters. It's amazing.
Mel, in 2024, you had 135 events, 13 states. In Brighton, Michigan alone, you had 400-plus people come to Jesus. All right, there's a listener that says, Mel, I've been so bad, I cannot forgive myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In our two-day session, one of the areas that we go into is forgiveness. And we always go into, to the person, there's one more person that needs to experience forgiveness, and that's you. And we walk them into where they can, they're generally just crying, they're getting healed, they're crying, they're getting set free from these wounds. And so it's remarkable. It's remarkable to see Jesus is bringing revival. He's awakening his people today. We see that in Life Relaunch. Every Life Relaunch. I just was in Indianapolis last week, and I had two pastors, and it was amazing the amount of restoration they got. But men that had just felt that they had done too much, that Jesus wouldn't forgive them. But Jesus is all about forgiveness, healing, rescue, and restoration.
Mel, you didn't live with my ex. You didn't have a kid like I had. Let me tell you about a business partner. Unbelievable. A son-in-law, what he did to my daughter and grandkids, unbelievable. My mom, my dad. I can't forgive these people, Mel. I can't.
Well, the reason they can't is because you're listening to the lies of Satan. You know, we are in a cosmic battle over this universe. And there's only one God. There's only one creator. And that's the Heavenly Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And there's a cosmic battle. And war broke out in heaven. We can read it in scriptures. And Satan and a third of the heavenly host became demons on the earth. They seek to occupy lives. They seek to come in through anger. They seek to come in through bitterness and hate and unforgiveness. This is how they come in and make a person's life miserable. This is their tactic. And their number one goal, John 10:10, in the scriptures, my friend, John 10:10 says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what is he coming after? Well, he'd love to take your life out, get you to take it out, but he wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy any possibility of you giving your heart to Jesus today.
We're talking to Mel Goble. He's just come out with a new book, Life Relaunch Warrior, Fighting the Unseen Cosmic Battle. And in the intro of the book, I quote you now, there is a battle raging all around us, unseen yet undeniably real. This is no ordinary war. It's a spiritual battle of unimaginable stakes. The outcome of this conflict isn't measured in temporary victories or fleeting losses. It's a battle for your soul and the souls of everyone you love. Whether we acknowledge it or not, every one of us is part of this battle. So you talk a lot about Satan, the devil. Mel, that's old school. There ain't no devil. There ain't no devil. Come on, Mel.
Yeah, well, that's one of Satan's greatest tactics, is to get people to believe he doesn't exist. But, you know, people don't pick up the scriptures. The God of creation tells a story. You know, we look back when he used Moses and he brought the law, and the Israelites couldn't keep the law, and they fell into disobedience. And so he sends his son to die on a cross, to pay for your sins, to pay for everything you've ever done in life, if you receive him. But it's just, but there's the forces, there's heavenly forces, there are principalities, there are rulers over areas of the United States, geographical areas. A principality, if you can get your head around this, over Chicago is a murder spirit. There's been murder there ever since Al Capone. And these forces, this forces of evil, want to take and deceive you. Oh, yeah, they Satan have, there's four voices always speaking to us, according to Scripture. The voice of the world is relentless, enticing us to pursue riches and pleasures. Yet Romans says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a voice of the flesh. It's our sinful nature. And Galatians says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. We are in a spiritual battle on this earth. And before you die, I beg you, give your heart to Jesus. He has a great future and plan for you that will be so amazing. It'll be unbelievable. And then there's that voice of Satan himself. He's the father of lies. Jesus said to some unbelieving people, you belong to the father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. You know, crime in our country is a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. What kind of a guy goes up 32 floors on Las Vegas hotel, pulls out his rifles, kills 59 people, injuring 500. You see, I've walked on Satan's. I was an ambassador in Satan's army. I was used by him to destroy drugs. When Jesus called me, just like he called Paul, just like he called Chuck Colson, hey, Jesus called me. Now I'm an ambassador of the light. And I know the enemy's tactics. And I know how he's trying to destroy the listeners, that are people that are listening to this right now. And we see it all over. In crime, there is demonic oppression. There is demonic possession. I have seen it in prisons. I have watched Jesus deliver demonic depression in prisons. Evil is raging around us right now. And even if you look at the media today, what do you see? It is a cosmic spiritual battle being played out. The forces of evil against the forces of light. And we're seeing it visibly like we've never seen it before in our country. And it affects our governments. It affects everything on the earth.
We're talking to Mel Goble, www.liferelaunch.org. When we come back, we're going to ask him about his better half, the co-author of the book. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Krasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble.
The great Ernie Harwell.
My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
And the voices of our generation.
I am reassured continuously that his unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Mel Goble. He and his wife, Annie, have just released the newest book, Life Relaunch Warrior, Fighting the Unseen Cosmic Battle. Tell us about Annie, please.
Yes, the Lord led Annie into my life. She came out of brokenness herself. She came out of where her father would, if you can believe this, pull out his pistol, drunk in the living room, five little kids, and saying, why should we keep living? Well, maybe we should just die. You know, Satan in his deception comes, like I said before, to kill, destroy life. And so she's a beautiful lady. She heads up the Women's Life Relaunch. She is seeing, oh, so many women have been abused. So many women have been taken for granted and used by men. And it's beautiful, the stories. We're seeing women set free in every life relaunch. And they're turning around and becoming facilitators. They're turning around and saying, I want to be a team leader, and I'm going to get some ladies, and we want to do this in our community. And so it's powerful. But our new book, the purpose of the book is to educate and empower people on the spiritual realm and the spiritual battle we are in every day. Most people don't realize that we are not humans that have an occasional spirit experience, but we are spiritual beings on a human experience or adventure with the Creator. And so the book outlines that cosmic battle. It shows all the way from the cosmic battle how to have a personal relationship with Jesus, one that is vibrant, one that where you, as Brother Lawrence wrote a book, Practicing the Presence of God, one where you see and experience divine encounters as you walk with Jesus. He is with us. He is closer than our breath. I love Psalm 33, verse 11. It says, the Lord is looking down on all the inhabitants of the earth, he who forms their hearts and considers whatever they do. He is looking down on Jack right now on the radio station, and he's looking at me out in my home. This is how intimate he loves us. He wants us to fellowship with him. When we're driving in the car, when we're going in to the store, he wants us to talk with him all the time. This is how we get to know the Creator of the universe and his love for us. His love is so amazing. So amazing.
Mel, I have good intentions, but then I succumb to the devil. What do I do?
Well, if you're doing this journey alone, that's we call that isolation, and you must be with other brothers, or sisters. You must not do the journey alone. And get back up. Every warrior takes hits in the spiritual realm. We all take them. And the key is get back up. Jesus forgives, and he knows the battle we're in. He knows we were a mere dust. We were created from dust. He knows that we as human beings struggle on the earth. But Annie and I have experienced his love and his power in the midst of our weaknesses. There's no greater power to help you get back up, to forgive you again, no matter how many times he forgives you. And this is how you'll come to appreciate his great love for you. And sin will no longer have the hold on you that it had in the past.
All right, the reality is that God is in control. It sure doesn't look that way How do you balance the two, Mel?
Well, there's a spiritual battle going on. As I said, back in Ephesians again, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You're either going to serve Jesus and know the Creator who created the earth and created all the galaxies and everything. He's extending his coming back so that more people can come to know him. God's knocked on the heart of every human being. He's knocked on the listeners, whether no matter what you're doing, he's available to help you. And really, we can't do this spiritual walk down here and walk through this spiritual battle without him and the Holy Spirit in our lives.
As our time winds down together, can you lead us in a closing prayer this evening?
Yeah, Jesus, I ask right now, Lord, because I know you're looking down on your earth, the planet that you created with human beings. And Jesus, you see everyone. This is amazing. You're a God that put flesh on bones and put brains in us. And God, just I ask right now that anyone out here that doesn't know you, I pray, Jesus, that you would draw them to yourself, because they're beautifully designed. Every human is a special, beautifully designed person that God designed. There's no one like you, and he wants you to come to him. He has so much love and gifts to offer you. Give in your heart today and go on an adventure like Annie and I have with the Creator of the universe. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Heavenly Father, thank you for Mel. Thank you for Annie. Keep them strong. Guide them to keep working miracles throughout America. Mel, thank you very, very much.
Amen, brother. Okay.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. Believe.